This is KPDO 89.3 FM, serving Pescadero and the South Coast. This is Coastside Conversations, and my guest today is Renee Arridge, who is speaking for the Pescadero Education Foundation, which is participating this year in Coastside Gives. So, Renee, let's start with your goals for Coastside Gives this year, what you're trying to accomplish, and the programs that you're trying to support.
We've actually been around for 19 years, and are focused on fundraising for K through 12 students that are attending Pescadero Elementary School, Pescadero Middle School, and Pescadero High School. For Coastside Gives this year, we are just continuing our longstanding mission, which is to fundraise for multiple services and programs in support of those students. And we tend to try to focus on large fundraising events. So Coastside Gives is such an amazing opportunity for us to give where we live and to reach out to the people that really just care the deepest for the community and the students in Pescadero.
So I did want to ask, this is an unusual year between COVID and the wildfires. Did that disrupt the funding that you would normally get? Did you have to forego fundraising events?
So when the CZU fire hit in last August, our district was in the third day of distance learning. And many of our families were displaced as a result of the CZU fire and the evacuations for 2 weeks, if not longer. And so we had a number of community members that were struggling with COVID, struggling with homeschool, and then had to figure out how to do and handle all of that in places that weren't their homes. There was a lot of social emotional work that had to happen to support the kids that were going through just like what felt like a pile on of challenges, you know, and figuring out. But luckily, they're so agile. I think like that's the thing, Catherine, for me, that just really blew me away and continues to blow me away with this community is how invested so many people are in helping just everybody succeed. Mm-hmm. And so from a community drive perspective, although the Pescadero Education Foundation, we weren't able to distribute our funds in the way we normally would, because we typically support in-school programs, things like Lego Club and Girls on the Run, Heirs to Our Oceans, all of which weren't being held because of COVID-19. Right. We were luckily able to continue fundraising. So we That's do good. Two... It is, yeah. So we do two major fundraising events a year. We do one in October, November timeframe. We call it our community drive. And we send letters to just a ton of people that support Pescadero, support the schools, and that we've had longstanding relationships with. And then, of course, through Coastside Gives, we do work there. And occasionally, when the social dynamic of the community allows it, we'll do things, we'll do dinners and things like that, where we have the opportunity to bring in our older students to showcase their art, maybe have an art auction or wait tables, share personal stories with large donors. And so we weren't able to do that this year, obviously.
Right. So that is a handicap, and yet it sounds like you guys just drove on and kept working and kept doing what you could. So what were the programs you were able to support this year? What did you do in lieu of that? What were the things you did?
Yeah, so it took a little while to get started to adjust to this pivot, because we typically take our lead from the district teachers and administrative staff who were, quite frankly, just immersed in trying to figure out how to teach kids on Zoom. Yep. And so we didn't really hit our stride until a few months in. And we PEF pivoted to focus more on long-term infrastructure projects that, quite frankly, in the past, we haven't been able to do. Typically, we do a single allocation in August where community members or staff, people that want to do cool programs for the kids, can request funding. And we shifted that this year to just do it on an as-needed basis. And it gave us the opportunity to respond over the course of time as we, as a collective community, got smarter about what the kids needed. And so it was really great, because what we found has happened is we were able to help provide hotspots, because internet is a big challenge for our district. We were able to give a larger amount of money to the middle and high school principal so that he could redo our library into a social justice library. I could tell a whole story on just the work going on there, but it's really amazing.
Well, that's awesome. I would love to hear a little bit more about that. How did that come about? Was that part of the equity work that the school board was doing? How did that happen?
Yeah, so that's correct. So one of the things that people might not know about Pescadero or La Honda Pescadero Unified is that there is a lot of work being done on equity and a lot of community interest and commitment to building an equitable community and equitable district. We have a very large LGBTQ presence in our community and in our school, and they really pushed to increase the amount of uncomfortable conversation that we're having as a community about race, and you know, and all the things related. And so if anybody's seen the library at the middle and high school, it needed a little bit of love anyway. And so we took this opportunity to invest in both our time and our money to really do a massive shift. So we painted it. We got over 600 new books from the county. A lot of it focused on social justice issues. We have a huge Heirs to Our Oceans chapter here in Pescadero. So now we have a section on ecology. We have a section on racism. We have a section on other things related to that. And it's gotten a whole facelift. So it's really exciting to see
that come into play. That's amazing. I didn't even know about that. That is really so cool. And that is one of the things, there's silver linings to this crazy time where we've discovered things about ourselves. And I think one of the social justice issues is this, you know, say hello to the people in your community that you've never really noticed before, and you know, be seeing everybody as a human being. And that has become so much more the forefront of our consciousness over these last few months, between, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement and, you know, the thing about gender understanding and sensitivity, and then, you know, social justice and equity in terms of economics. And our community is just so raw, and so it's so apparent, the various levels of economic equality, inequality, however you want to put it. So yeah, it's so appropriate for Pescadero that you guys are doing that. So that's awesome. I'm happy to hear about it. So that is one amazing thing that you've done.
Yeah.
But typically you guys do things that are, you know, kind of like the garden. You've got a garden, right?
Yes. We help fund the garden at the elementary school every year.
Which is so also Pescadero. I mean, it's great that our kids are doing that, right?
Yeah.
And I understand, is there a kitchen there now too? Is that true? An enclosed kitchen?
I don't think so, but I do know that recently we've been working with the principal there, and she's building additional outdoor learning spaces associated to gardening. And that's something we've helped with.
And then I think that you've given teachers grants for what they've needed in the past. I think maybe the hotspots was how you did it this year, but typically going forward, you would be giving teachers some money for their supplies. Am I right?
Yes, we always support our teachers. They get funding from us at the beginning of the year. We also support our principals. They get a larger amount of funding that they can have the flexibility to apply to the projects that they're passionate about inside the school. And we also lean in really hard on Teacher Appreciation Week, which is coming up the same week actually as Coastside Gives.
Oh no.
Yeah. So
actually, so we, maybe yeah. that's a good thing. Maybe that's it a coincidence. Is. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so great. We have some really cool things in the works for Teacher Appreciation that I can't talk about because it's a secret.
So that's so great. That is what teachers need, boy, especially in these last this crazy time that they've had to live through. What a challenge, you know, and there's a lot of mothers who had huge challenges too. I mean, and so this hotspot thing was probably great.
Yeah.
I know we had the remote learning centers. Is that related to the hotspots or is that
yes.
something different? Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know how much the audience knows, but the La Honda Pescadero Unified School District is geographically the most dispersed school district in the county. We're 160 square miles, but we're also the smallest school district in terms of attendance. We have under 300 kids that attend.
Wow.
A huge number. 80% of our student population is Latino or Latina students. And, you know, a majority of them, all of us actually struggle with internet in,
sure.
in the geographic region. And so, for some of us, we're able to find a way around it. I'm talking to you today over Zoom at my house. But for many of our kids, internet access has been the number one challenge this year, right? And so it's really been a full community engagement. PMAC, Pescadero Municipal Advisory Council, has been very closely involved with the school district to help bring more internet access to our students. And one small thing that we could do, and we did early on, and I'm kind of speaking holistically as a district, although PEF helped a bit, was get hotspots in the hands of the kids that need it.
Right.
Yeah.
And that only works where you have some cellular coverage.
Right.
And we have lots of those places that
right.
don't. I mean, there's lots of big spaces that are dead to cellular
yes.
around here.
So we very quickly realized that we were going to need to open up remote learning centers for our students. And
right.
what a remote learning center is basically, it's an area with strong internet that's staffed by district personnel. So teachers, you know, people that can help the kids, where students can come and log in. Mm-hmm. And so almost every farm that we support here opened up an RLC, although a couple of them, after the CZU fire, they had to pivot and do things like support displaced animals and stuff like that. So we were able to open up some other learning centers at the schools and then solve for transportation, because a lot of these kids don't have a way to get to the learning centers if
so
they're not
true.
On site.
Right. I know it's a complicated situation because of the lack of transportation, the lack of internet, the lack of resources that the families have. And,
yes.
you know, I mean, we are all working on this. I think the only reason I have internet, and this was not a thing up until just last year, was Coastside.net put a tower in and we have 2 miles worth of fiber in here and we
right.
all have really good internet now. But that costs the community a lot of money. And many of the, you know, farm communities could not afford to do that. Hopefully someday Starlink will happen and we'll all have remote, very inexpensive remote internet, but it's not here yet, not at this latitude. So yeah, it's a real struggle. We all have to adapt and so many people are working on it. And I really understand and appreciate that you guys are working on it too. And I have to just acknowledge what you say. Casey Dunn at PMAC has been just such an interventionist when it comes to getting the internet here.
Yes.
It's really,
that was who I was thinking of.
We have to be grateful that he came along at the right time because we needed him. And
yes.
that happens in our community a lot. The right person comes along at the right time and helps us out. But yeah, we're about to, you know, go into the school reopening. And so I know Teacher Appreciation Week is happening and then we reopen the school. How is that working out and how are you guys dealing with it?
Yeah, so it is a very exciting time. So our Our district is made up of two elementary schools, a middle and a high school, and PEF represents the Pescadero Elementary School, but there's also La Honda Elementary, represented by the La Honda Education Foundation. Right. And our K through five schools have actually, we've been very lucky in our district. They've been open since November. But
that's good.
We were only recently able to open 6 through 12 because of obvious COVID restrictions of being in the purple tier.
Yeah.
And so as we moved into the red tier, we were able to start really looking at what that might look like. And I am so excited to share that we will begin phased reopening of our upper grades starting, actually orientation starts on Friday, the 5th, I think it's the 5th. Yeah, the 5th. And the first bubble.
No, Friday is April 2nd.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. So April 2nd is our first orientation. Okay. And then the first bubble will return to class on April 12th.
Wow.
Yes. So it's going to be a phased reopening. And our superintendent and staff are working very hard to figure out how to do that safely, but also quickly. Mm-hmm. Because it's almost summer. So yeah, we kind of have that ticking in the background. So
is school is still usually it gets out, what, June 11th or something? Will the kids be in school for 2 months or less? Or how's that?
The last day of school is June 3rd.
Oh, but okay.
We're also working on a plan for summer. Okay. So typically the district offers what it was called a big lift program for younger students, but mm-hmm. they are actively and passionately working out a plan to offer 5 weeks of learning loss support for the entire school set.
Fabulous. Yeah. Oh, that's news. That's great news.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, because so many of these kids could not learn in a remote way. I mean, the internet was a problem. Just not having the face-to-face teacher interaction was, you know, so important for some.
Oh, it is. And honestly, a lot of the work, and now I'm speaking kind of on behalf of the district a little bit, but a lot of, and we'll talk about why that is in a minute, I'm sure. But
yes,
a lot of that work, a lot of the work this year has been social emotional wellness. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and PEF leans in and supports wherever we basically get asked to be helpful,
because
we are a huge fundraising arm for the district. And so this year, because the district really quite frankly, early on recognized that there was just a lot of heart-based stuff to work on, mm-hmm. that they formed a community team. And that community team has just done some of the most amazing work this year, not only to support our kids and their social emotional health, but to support the families of those children.
Yeah. It all works together. Without the family unit being healthy, the kid is not healthy. Right.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And so that is great. That's so great to hear that you've got a program continuing in the summertime because it is so needed. These kids have a loss of learning time, right? They really need that. So that's great news.
And it is.
You know so much, and I should just not keep this hidden any longer. It's partly because you are on the school board, Renee.
Yes.
So Renee, we have to talk about you. You just have this in-depth knowledge that is, you know, kind of beyond the norm for your average education foundation. So you are on the school board. You have been now for a while, but you've just jumped in with both feet. So why don't you tell us about that journey a little bit? How did you get to that point of being on the school board? I know you were on the PEF board for a while and have been, but yeah, just give us some background and history there.
Yeah, so I'd be happy to. it's really kind of been a journey because my husband and I moved to Pescadero from Sunnyvale it'll be 9 years ago in July.
Wow.
And he very quickly joined Pescadero Municipal Advisory Council. Mm-hmm. I think it was one of the reasons why we moved here so that he could join PMAC. And
he's such a great guy.
He
was the chair of PMAC for a while and just made it so much better. I mean, he was such a rock star at
Thank
that.
Thank you, Catherine.
Just by being you know, a good guy. So that was really cool. But go yeah. on. Go
I'll on let him you. Know. I pull him into many of my county meetings as a trustee because he gets people really excited about things, you know.
Right. And in a really positive, everything about him is positive. And that was such a needed shift for PMAC.
Yeah, he is. I'm very lucky to have him. We make a good team. And so I was really, fast forward a few years, I was really just looking to start to get engaged with the school because I had a young son. He's 6 now. And one of the officers at PEF I was becoming close friends with, and she said, you know, why don't you join this thing? It's not too much work, because everybody's like, how much time do you need from me? And she's like, we just do this thing once a year and it's fun. We'll get together and talk once a month and we could go out for a beer afterwards. And I was like, okay, this sounds good. I could do this. And so I got involved, but I'm also very action focused, just as a person. And so when I get engaged in something, I usually get engaged at a level 11 versus a level 3.
Yes.
And so I did, and quickly became secretary because in my history, I did a lot of work that set me up to be really great at quickly recording data in a concise, clear and concise way. So that felt like a good role. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that just expanded. So I did that. And then I joined up with the athletic director and started helping coach basketball and softball, varsity girls, JV girls, and loved that. And as all this is going on, my son is getting older. I'm starting to meet more staff, starting to care about even more deeply about what we're doing here. I also have a background in learning innovation. So I was the head of leadership development at eBay for a long time, and care deeply about deep learning practices. And that's what I do now in my other job. That's what I do now.
In your real job?
At my company.
Day job?
Yeah.
But let me just say that you, like so many people in Pescadero, are one of those super volunteers where you jump in and then you just get in deeper and you get in deeper, and then it starts taking over so many aspects of your lives. And we can't help doing it. I mean, there's so many people like that in Pescadero because we see the need, we see we can do something about it, and then we just get more and more involved. So you are one of those very admirable people, Renee.
As are you, Catherine.
But just cannot help but help, you know, it's awesome. So yeah, I like to hear it. But we haven't gotten to where you're on the school board yet, so keep going.
Yeah. So I ran for school board in November. There was an opportunity. There's a lot of interest in bringing deeper learning practices to the district. We just have so many cool things going on, and really just the right holistic mindset to do amazing work here. And so it felt like the right time for me to bring my expertise to the role. And I did it with some trepidation because it's a big, big responsibility. You know, the role of school board member is to represent the students and their families in the best way possible. And there's a lot of elements at play inside a community, as all of us know who live in one, that you have to weigh. So,
and this is such a diverse community with so many needs. You know, I mean, that's a big challenge right there.
Don't let the size fool you.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's true.
Yes.
In fact, a small, very diverse, with the lack of resources that we have, the fact that there's so many parents who don't really have a background in education, many of them only educated to maybe third or fourth grade, if that. And then you have students who have these extra needs that you have to try to meet. And so, yes, it is a big challenge to try to face this head on and then actually make headway with it. But you guys are really doing that. I'm just so impressed. Of course, not alone, you know, but still.
It's an exciting time. And I'll just share a quote that our athletic director shared last week, which I just think really, for me, it hit home. And she said, there's a lot of successes there that you're never going to find on a spreadsheet. And I think for me this year, that really sums up what it's been like to be engaged in a school, continuing to support that role, both inside PEF and as a school board member.
I think that once the kids get together and they can see each other, they can see their teachers, they can be around each other, there's going to be such an emotional lift. I think it's going to be so much more fun. I mean, yes, a lot of loss of learning that we have to try to work on, but being able to open up, I think, is going to be just awesome. I mean, just a celebration, honestly. I think it'll help a lot.
Yeah, really being back together is going to be a big deal, I think.
Right. And the fact that it's happening soon is good. The fact that you guys recognize that, you know, some of these kids are going to need some help getting to where they need to be in the learning process. I mean, that's happening all over the country. We're not alone. You know, but thank God we can have a graduation, right? We can have a graduation where the seniors are actually, you know, together. I mean, potentially in the gym, right?
Right. Yes.
50% capacity kind of thing. I'm not sure, but some way it'll happen, correct?
It'll be exciting to hear how that comes to life through Principal Phil and our new student council, which formed this year as well.
Oh, good. So, yeah. Wow. Right. So tell me what your budget is with Coastside Gives, what you're trying to raise. And I hear so many ways that we could use the money, but what's your goal this year?
So our goal this year is to raise $5,000. We hope to do more than that. And we have a lot of exciting plans to promote through social media and some other things, which I can't reveal right now. but yeah, that's what we're looking to do. Of course, we're always, always excited to do more. It does look like we might get a matching donor, which might allow us to increase our goal a bit.
Okay.
And so that could be really exciting too.
Okay. So I just want to remind people that this is the time when CoastsideGives.org has opened up. People can participate even now, although the event itself is May 6th. So if you go to CoastsideGives.org, you can see the page for Pescadero Education Foundation. So I'm speaking today to Renee Erich, who is not only on the board of the Pescadero Education Foundation, she is on the actual school board. So she's got a lot of great internal knowledge about what's going on with the school district. And she knows just how the Pescadero Education Foundation has helped and can help. So please give your support to the Pescadero Education Foundation during Coastside Gives.
Thank you so much, Catherine, for spending this time with me today.
All right. Well, this has been really great, a fun conversation. So I hope you guys do well.
And yeah, thank you.